choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game, better educated about your money, so you can live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 75, When Money Meets Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. We couldn't help it. Most people, when they get married, they marry for, I say most people, that's kind of cynical, but, most people, if not all people, marry primarily for love. When we get married, many people describe themselves as marrying their best friend. It's an incredibly emotionally driven decision, both in the immediate sense of when the ceremony happens. And I'm coming up almost on 3 years of being married at this point and thinking about, even thinking back to our wedding day and everything. But it's driven long before that. And that, in many cases, there's months, if not, years and years of layers of experiences with your partner that bring you to a point where you want to make this ultimate and deepest commitment to them. You find your partner sexy, you're vulnerable to them, you've shared amazing times together and deep frustrations together. You've triumphed and you've struggled and through all of that you have a loyalty and a commitment to each other. And those are the things that when I hear married couples or soon to be married couples and want to talk about their partner and why they got married and that type of thing. These are the things that typically come up. What doesn't typically come up, or what is sometimes more uncomfortable for couples to talk about, is money. And so in many cases, when, couples come to me and say, hey, we've been thinking we need a financial planner, to work with us. One of my questions, simply put, is just, well, why? And in many cases, as we dig a bit deeper, I find that many people, maybe prior to marriage, didn't talk much, if at all, about money. Or there's just a lot of discomfort talking about money. It's just not something that one or both people feel, have ever shared with someone or feel comfortable sharing. In some cases, maybe there was a parent or, while you were growing up and that type of thing where your parents constantly fought about money. Money is the number one cause of divorce in the United States. 42-43% of divorces, the number one, the reason for them, when you dig down into those, has been money and financial trouble, financial hardship. And so there are a variety of reasons why it can be a very sensitive topic and a tough one to broach. And it is tough to, especially when you go, again, what is your motivation for marrying someone? Typically speaking, it is not their balance sheet. And yet, there's a reality exists that once you're married, your balance sheets combine. And legally, depending on the state you live in, different ways. But the overall aspect of this is what you're earning is combined, what your expenses are combined, and responsibility for many debts ends up being combined. And so when you're getting married, yeah, there's that you know, the part that we all gravitate to, wedding planners gravitate to, try to get you to ignore when you're looking to plan your wedding and spend a whole load of money that you shouldn't necessarily. I mean, they get you to forget about that money part, and yet that money part's a very real half, yeah, a big aspect of marriage, because it ultimately, to at least a degree, is going to dictate what priorities both of you have when it comes to your resources moving ahead. Where before, you only had to look at what you were earning and what you were spending and what you owed and that sort of thing. Now you're having to look across the aisle to see what that looks like. So going back to this idea of having that conversation about money, some questions that I typically raise, in sessions, do you have outstanding debt? Where did it come from, and why did it happen? I think it's very different when someone says, "Yeah, I've got some school debt from when I went to college, but I'm working," and that type of thing, versus, "Yeah, I've loaded up $50,000 worth of credit cards, and I bought a bunch of stuff I shouldn't." Those are going to bring different emotions out of whoever's receiving that. One of those is going to be a story of, "Oh, you were doing something as a means of bettering your career." And it doesn't make that the one better or worse over the other in terms of impact. I mean, $50,000 of student loans and $50,000 of credit card debt is $50,000 of debt either way. And it got charged up somehow. One might probably is at a significantly higher interest rate. And if the motivation behind why something got charged up was, well, I there were some emotional spending or some decision making, if you're the partner on the other end of that, you've got to recognize that if you go and open accounts with this person and you feel like they don't have a handle on this or could go off the handle again, you could be the one holding the bag. You could be the one that has to pay the stuff off. And I've had clients who have come out of bad, out of marriages and out of relationships where they've opened joint accounts and they're paying off their, former partner's mistakes because this didn't get a super hard look. So having these questions, hopefully ahead of when you get married, and having these discussions, it's vital. When you do get married, how will you take care of that? Who's going to be responsible for that? You can go so far, by the way, as to sign agreements to say, this is your debt and you are going to be responsible for it. And if you decide to get married to me and then later decide you don't want to be married to me, I am not going to hold that debt. You're going to carry that ahead of time. That's what referred to as a prenuptial agreement. We think of prenups as a means of just protecting wealth. What it does do is it can set some boundaries of these are things that we agree existed before us. And legally in some states they treat it that way, but some you need to have an agreement in place to say, I understand, or you may decide that you want to tackle it together. And that's fine too. But you need to have these conversations. How do each of you feel about money? What's been your relationship with it in the past? What do you want your money and your resources to do moving forward? What do you want to do with your career, your goals, dreams? Like, there's some big life questions that open up here. But I think it's important to really articulate and get this all out. Because I think it is more comfortable for most people not to. And yet, when we go back to what makes people unhappy, what brings these relationships to, especially in marriage, to real grinds, it's not having communicated about these things before making that big commitment. How do you plan to pay for expenses moving ahead? Will that be some sort of joint account situation? Will you try to separate bills and split them up between the two of you? If one person earns significantly more money than the other, how does that get handled? And dealing with some of the feelings about that. That type of a situation can bring upon some feelings of frustration that, especially if you're, the lower paid or lower compensated partner, that you feel inadequate, or you're kind of jealous that your partner makes a lot more, or that you don't deserve whatever it is that's coming into the house. And there are a lot of untruth, you know, not non-truths in what I've just said here, but it's important to really talk through and reconcile how you want to approach that together so you both feel comfortable with how decisions are made. I mean, if one person's making, you know, 50, 60 grand a year and the other is making 250 grand a year, it's possible the person with a 250 grand a year salary wants to live a lifestyle that is high, you know, kind of higher in terms of costs, and they can afford to do that. But that doesn't mean the fifth person earning 50 can. And so there has to be real discussion and balance, and that person making 50K, you know, even if you say, hey, let's just make these expenses proportional, maybe just take a look and say, I don't want to spend my money that way. I don't want to live like that. And that's a really important realization to figure out before you get married. Because if that's what you feel and that's where things are at, well, that goes to the fundamental kind of foundation of how you're going to be proceeding in your relationship moving ahead. Not just the financial side, but just living day to day. And making sure that you're on the same page if that's how things are going to continue moving ahead. Now, I've shot a bunch of questions out here, and that was intentional. And the intent and the point of this is that it's important to get these frustrations and concerns and ideas out there. But here's the thing. I mean, there's a big fundamental truth that underlies all of this. And I don't think people realize it until they hear it, so I'm just going to say it. You are both 100% responsible for the household finances. It is not 50-50. It is 100-100. You are both responsible entirely for the household finances. And so, one, you both need to be to own all aspects of that. May not be the most fun, or maybe easier for one person than the other. Doesn't matter. You both need to be engaged. Because there are a couple of big what-ifs that come right off the bat, and these are pretty easy to, you know, to kind of digest. If you cannot like the financial part, you may not want to look at it, but here's the thing. What happens if your partner were to suddenly pass away? Or become incapable of making a decision? You're going, well, how can that happen? Drunk driver. Someone, you know, jumps the curb while they're jogging or whatever, hits them, runs them over. I mean, those are a couple of the more innocuous ones, but the point being, bad things happen to good people all the time. So if something were to suddenly change, are you prepared to pick up the mantle and handle this? Another one that does come up often is that, you know, and this is sad that it comes up often, but it does, is if that person, that your partner, were to change somehow. And maybe this person is no longer the person you love and you trust. Maybe this person is the person that you don't, you know, at one point you were enraptured with and enamored by and all of this. And now they, you know, they're making odd decisions, or maybe they're not committed to this anymore. And what if that person has built up some debts and expenses and that type of thing, isn't very good with their money? You're stuck with the bag. These things happen. They happen frequently. And so right off the bat, you've really got to think about what's going on in that relationship. It's not just a romantic partnership, but fundamentally, it is a financial partnership as well. And no matter how good the romantic side of it is, if the financial side is crap, it will not take long before the romantic side is crap too. So, some things I can suggest. One, communication. Regular communication is vital. Regularly reviewing financial information together. Making decisions together. Having a plan or a strategy. And that's the thing. Having a plan is so important when it comes to having a means of really identifying what your goals are, short, medium, and long term, how to handle different risks that may exist in your life, whether, you know, be it financial or other. Having a plan that acknowledges that you each have individual goals as well as collective goals together. A plan that acknowledges your feelings and what you individually want, and being able to sort that out. And frankly, that's what I do when I work with clients, when I work with couples, that process and having a structure and a framework in place that helps do that, that's what I do. I think that's what a really good financial planner that works with couples does, they learn about their lives, they listen, they have a framework that exists that's a healthy financial framework. It's going to build a great foundation, minimizing and removing risks, helping you build fundamentally step by step. It can be invaluable in a marriage. So, and frankly, even if you're not getting married, even if you say, you know what, we're going to remain partners, but maybe we're not going to get married, doesn't mean that these processes don't apply. If you're going to be in a relationship super long term with this person, in whatever legal form or, you know, formality you want to call it, then having these building blocks in place is crucial to having your long-term relationship be a very healthy and happy and successful one, which I hope for everyone listening. So to that end, if you're listening to this and going, you know what, we could use someone to kind of talk through this for a few, you know, whether it's, you know, even just bringing it in, you know, an initial situation and just getting some feedback or saying, you know what, we're ready to get, you know, have someone that can help coach us and work with us together on this. I hope you reach out to me, Steven@BriggsWealth.com, steven@BriggsWealth.com. We'll talk through all the things, set up in our consultation. It's completely free of charge. And we'll just go from there. Like, I don't really go into a consultation meeting with any particular mindset other than to be helpful. And so to that end, I hope you, if you're listening to this going, hey, you know, we can use a little bit of that helpful. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We'll set up a meeting via Zoom, and we'll have a great conversation and just take it from there. So, on that note, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. My name is Stephen Briggs. You can find, by the way, not only the other 74 episodes of Money is Personal, but you can find our Briggs blog at BriggsWealth.com. We've got a great new search feature. It makes it super easy. If you're looking for a particular topic or subject, you can search it in there. I redesigned the website here in the last couple weeks. It's looking slick. I'm feeling great about it. Do check that out. You can also find this podcast on iTunes Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Player FM. And the only other thing I would say is that if you are on one of those platforms that has an ability to review or rate our podcast, that you do so. All that feedback helps us improve and helps support future listeners, encouraging them to take a chance to give this podcast a chance to listen. So anyway, hope you have a wonderful week. Be safe, be well, wear a mask, and I will catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas, and check out the firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your financial situation. Selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.